You know, we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary, and this is the perfect time for us to ask the question, how are we doing at church? How is City Lights Church doing? Like, what during these past 10 years, what God's been up to and how he's been working in and amongst us and through us and all that, how do we decide if this is a successful church, if this is what God wants from us from a church? And the reason I ask is there's no really clear, quantifiable answer necessarily that we've all settled on. Because a lot of people have different definitions on what makes a church successful, or if a church is doing well, what does it look like versus a church that isn't doing well. And a lot of us would say, well, a church is doing well if there's a lot of people in the room. If it's a packed out room, that shows a church is doing well. Or if it's got a beautiful building, a building speaks a lot, you know, the space. If there's beautiful space, that's a sign of success for a church. Or depends on, you know, maybe if the church has influence, is an important church in the city and speaks on all these issues. And maybe if the church has acknowledgments, maybe the local paper says something, or there's some sort of, the mayor gives a little certificate or whatever. If there's some sort of acknowledgments going on, all these different things. If they have a big budget, if the church has a lot of money coming in, well, maybe that's a sign of success. The bills are getting paid, and all these different things, like, you know, what makes a church successful? There's also the opposite side of that, and maybe you might think, no, it's none of those things. None of those things matter. It has nothing to do with any of that. Matter of fact, those are bad things, and a good thing is just, if it's just as long as a couple people are following God and people are just wholeheartedly seeking God, then it's a success. So we got this competing view of what makes a church successful, or how do we define a successful church. And so today what we're going to be doing is looking at what the Bible says, how it defines a successful church. You know, we're going through this series called Changed, about how the gospel changes everything. When we understand the gospel, it changes our views and all these different things. We've been teaching through the book of Ephesians, looking at what the gospel changes in us and through us. And we're going to see today in Ephesians chapter 4 about how the gospel changes how we do church. That when we get a full understanding of what the gospel is all about, it should change the goal of church, and it changes the means to that goal. And so we're going to be looking today at Ephesians chapter 4 about that very issue. So if you got a Bible, open it up to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't got a Bible, there's some gray paperback Bibles in the pews. You can take one of those. I think it's got a picture of a tree on the front. And if you don't own a Bible, you can own that one. That'd be fine. You take it and put your name in it, and that's why it's there, and you can take it home with you. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at together, again, trying to see what the body of Christ, how we are affected by the gospel. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Am I cutting out? Maybe I'll switch mics. All right, we all there? Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. This is our passage this morning. And this is what Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, starting at verse 1 of chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So he begins by saying, after all that stuff I've said about your identity in Christ, who you are, how you once were a child of wrath, but now you're a child of love, and all this stuff about who you are, in light of all that, he says, live a life worthy of that calling. All right, you have this great calling on your life. Live a life worthy of that calling. So what does that look like? He describes it starting in verse 2. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All right, so how he begins, this is our foundational truth this morning. So our kind of a starting point in this message is this. He says that we as a church are called together to complete unity, to complete unity as a church. We're called together to complete unity. So in verse 3, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This unity, this Spirit that's in all of us, should unify us together so we can maintain this complete unity together. Because he says, just as there's one body, he said there's one Spirit, there's one hope, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God above all, in all, through all, one, 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 one.
He says, just as that's all one, he says, you guys are to be one, all right, to be complete, to be together in complete unity together. And in the midst of saying where he was talking about live a life worthy of the calling we received, he then describes all these attributes. Check out these attributes that he describes. Humble, gentle, patient, bearing with each other in love. You know what all those have to have in common? Those are needed if we're going to live in unity with each other, right? Those all have to deal with dealing with each other, right? They all have to do with that, about how we deal with each other. Being humble, so I'm not prideful, not needing to put my way first, letting the other go first, right? Being humble, being gentle in the way we speak to each other and the way we interact with each other. Patient, enough said on that. Bear with each other in love, so we're loving one another. These are all so important in maintaining that complete unity. That's why they matter, because he says, live a life worthy, do these things. Why? So we can be in complete unity with each other. And you might be thinking, Tom, holy cow, there's a whole message right there. You could preach a whole sermon on that, I bet. And you're right, because we did it 2 weeks ago. That was what we talked about two Sundays ago, about how we as the body of Christ need to be unified together. That the spirit that's in us unites us far more than all the different things that divide us. Even though we're different in all these different ways, we have all these different things about us, we can still be unified in the midst of our diversity because we share one spirit, and that spirit unites us together. So that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And then last week we talked about living by God's power, not by my power. And so we're going to see this week is actually going to combine those two messages together in light of that we're all called to be unified in the midst of our diversity, in the light of that we're all called to live by God's power, not by our own power. Then it's going to result in what we're going to be talking about today. All right, so that's why this is just a foundational truth. It's just a starting point, is that we need to be living together in complete unity, unified together. That's just a starting point because we already talked about this. So this is just establishing the ground floor to the house we're going to build. So our foundation this morning is that we're called together to complete unity. All right, so let's continue reading then to see, in light of that, where does Paul take this? All right, verse 7. Says, but to each one of us, so but, that's in contrast to that, so we're called to complete unity, we're all one, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So he says, in the midst of our unity, that we're all unified as one, that Christ has given out gifts to people, different gifts. And so when he says grace has been apportioned in different measures, what that's really talking about is not like you're more forgiven than you. It's talking about gifts. And we're going to see later on through the rest of this passage that he's really talking about different roles, different giftings, different uses for people in the kingdom according to the gifts that God gives. So he calls it grace because those are given by grace. Those are graces given to us. That's not something that we earn or merit, but given by God's grace. So that we have these, in the midst of all these different giftings we have, we're still unified as one, but we have these different giftings. Okay, then in verses 9 and 10, he puts this little, like, tangent note in here. So don't get thrown by verses 9 and 10. It's a little parenthetical statement where it kind of goes on this little diatribe on the word ascended, like, about ascended. So don't get thrown off by this, but not verses 9 and 10. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So that's talking about Christ there. Okay, verse 11. Now back to the gifts. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Okay, these are all different roles in the church, different roles of leadership. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, you know, we're not going to worry too much about what each one is and what's the difference between an apostle and a prophet and a teacher. We're not going to get caught up in that too much. What I want to focus on is what the role of the leadership is in the body and what the role of all the body is. Okay, and so again, so we can see what is successful. Okay, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Verse 12. Why did he give them? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So the point of all those different roles of leadership in the church, these different positions or offices in the church, is to get all the parts of the body active and doing their part. That everybody would be able to serve their role and do their part, to equip his people for works of service. So to equip the church, all the members of the church, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Verse 13 describes that built up body. until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is how I want to define church. I mean, am I right? That is church that's doing its work. A church that is unified in the faith and maturing, attaining to the fullness of Christ, that taking on the attributes of Christ. That is what we're aspiring for. That's what we're after. That is, it's got nothing to do with the church building. It's got nothing to do with the attendance. It's got nothing to do with the budget. It's got nothing to do with any of the influence. It's got nothing to do with if it's on TV or not. It's got nothing to do with any of those things that we often look at and say, oh, wow, look at that church. They're doing some work. Well, unified in the faith and maturing, attaining to the fullness of Christ, becoming more and more like Christ. That is what we need to be after as a church. That's what matters. That's what's important. So what I want to focus on, though, so if that's the goal, is how do we get to that goal? What's the means to that goal? And he described it in verse 12 with a means to that goal. He says, verse 11, to Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So there's our central truth this morning, that we mature as the body of Christ, as a church. We mature as the body of Christ as we each do our part, as each one of us does our part. That's how we mature. Then Paul, continuing on this passage, Paul then goes on to describe what this mature body looks like, what it does, the activities of this mature body. So let's keep going. We'll read through this passage, and we'll dive back into a part of it. Okay, so it continues on in verse 14. Then, when we've matured and attained the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. First attribute that it describes of this mature church is this, that it knows what it knows. It knows what it knows. It'll be firm in its beliefs. It won't be thrown back and forth by every new theme and every new concept and any new thing on social media. It won't be moved off of its beliefs because of that. It'll be firm in its beliefs and its convictions. It won't be thrown by this cunningness of the world or drawn off its spot on all these different issues. It'll know what it knows. You know what I'm talking about? How you know what you know? Like some things you just know that you know that you know. This is one of those things. It's saying that as we mature as a body, we'll begin to know what we know. We'll have this firm conviction in our beliefs and where we stand on the gospel. All right, so that's the first thing it describes in verse 14, is that it knows what it knows. Continuing on, chapter 4, verse 15. Verse 15, instead of being tossed aside by by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming, instead, speaking the truth in love. That's the second aspect of a mature church, and that it truths in love. Truths in love. You said, Tom, truth isn't a verb. Actually, it's used as a verb in the Greek. It's actually truthing. If you look at the actual, when it says speaking the truth, the word in there is truthing. And so this is something that the church does. It speaks truth. It truths people, right? It communicates these truths to people. It is so committed to spreading the gospel of Christ, the truth of Christ, that it's just what the church is all about. And notice it truths in love. It doesn't just do this with condemnation, with judgment, but in love. And isn't that important? Too often we get that wrong. But so that's the second attribute. So first, it knows what it knows. Second, it truths in love. And the third, second half of verse 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So finally, third, is it grows under Christ, grows under Christ, grows up under Christ. With Christ as the head of the body, the rest of the body grows up under Christ as we're joined together and supported by Christ. And well, you know what a head does? It tells everybody else what to do, right? What do my hands do? My hands do what my head tells it to do. My eyes, they do what my head tells them to do, right? My elbow does what the head tells it to do. As we grow up under Christ, it's under his lordship, under his leading, that he is the boss, he's in charge, and we grow and mature under Christ, with Christ as the head. And then notice it says, this is what I want to focus on today, is this. At the end of verse 16, it says that we grow as each part does its work. As each part does its work. And the reason I want to, so that's where I want to settle on today. I talked about all those things, because that's what I talked about here. But there's only one action in this whole passage. And there's only one action for the body to do. There's only one action, and it's this, that each does its part. That's the action. Back in verse 12, it says that the role of the leadership is to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. As the body of the Christ, each part does its role, does the works of service, then the result is all these other things. So this passage does not talk about, all right, if we're going to know what we know, it doesn't say, well, then we need to study all the more. And if we study enough, then we'll know what we know. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that we need to speak the truth in love. Therefore, we need to just always be training on how to share the gospel. I mean, those are useful things. But that's not the way we will speak the truth in love. It doesn't say that we need to, if we're going to grow up under Christ, that we need to just work real hard at that. Because all these things happen as a result of each part of the body doing its part. That because remember, check out verse 14, it starts with, then all these things will happen. Then, at that time, then all these things will take place. Then is when we will know what we will know what that will be firm in our beliefs. Then we will speak the truth in love to people. Then we will grow and mature under Christ as the head. What's the then for? The then is referring to the time when we matured, attaining to the whole measure and the fullness of God. That's in verse 13. How do we do that? Verse 12, go up one more verse at the top of that. Verse 12 is the key, that each one is doing their part to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The key to all this is verse 12. Up until verse 12, they're all pointing to verse 12. In the midst of our unity, we all have different roles and different positions, and all these positions of leadership have one job, to get everybody doing their part. And then as everyone's doing their part, these are the results. We will mature and grow under Christ, and these are the attributes that happen with a mature body. So again, the key that I want to focus on today is verse 12, because that is the action. That and all this, the to-do list, is just one thing, and it's verse 12, that all the parts of the body get active and doing their part. It's kind of like bodybuilding. Is Trayvon here? Trey's not even here. Trey's in great shape, right? Because he works out. If you want to build up your body, you need to put work in to build up your body. And if your only exercise is left arm curls, that's the only exercise you do, you're going to have one big old left bicep. And the rest of you is going to be all bony and chickeny, right? The way that we do bodybuilding, or the way that we get in shape and exercise, is to get all the parts doing, all the parts working. If only, we're only using one part, then that part gets strong and develops strength and all that, but the rest of it stays weak. To develop the body means getting all those parts working and all those parts moving and all those parts active. Well, it's the same way in the body of Christ, that we are all a different part of this body. We all have a different role in this body. We're all different, gifted in different ways in this body. We all have a part to play in kingdom work. We all have a part to play in this. And as we all play that part, that's when the body gets built up. And that's when the church gets all buff and strong and swole, when we're all doing our part. That's how we grow and develop and mature, is each one of us is doing our part. And that's the role of the leadership of City Lights Church. The reason I'm here, the reason Terry's here, the reason the board is here, is to help you guys get active and do your part. To get you, to equip you, to empower you, to get active and get rolling and get moving. And this is something I think we get wrong in church a lot, and I think church suffers for it. We think the pastor's job is to do the ministry, the church's job is to receive ministry, and people out there's job is to come in here so they can receive some ministry too, because the pastors do the ministering. Well, that's not how this talks about this at all. The role of the ministering is the body, is you guys. The role of the pastor is to get you guys doing your part, to enable you, empower you, equip you, encourage you, support you, help you succeed in doing your part. That we all have a part to play in this. If anything, if this is like a sport, you guys are the players. I'm just the coach. You know, I'm not actually the one playing. I'm helping you guys. I'm encouraging you. I'm equipping you. I'm empowering you, challenging you, training you, all these sort of things to get you ready to do your part. When it talks about works of service, so that God's people will do works of service. In the original Greek, the word is actually ministry. We're doing works of ministry. So what that's talking about is doing kingdom work. Like, we give our lives to doing self-kingdom work, like building my kingdom. I give a lot of time to building up my own kingdom that involves my checking account, involves my equity, and it involves my retirement, it involves my position at work, and it involves my position in the neighborhood, and it involves all those things. That's personal work. This is talking about building kingdom work, where we're about advancing Christ's kingdom and being about doing God's work and investing in his kingdom. And so this saying that as each one of us, we all have a role in the body of Christ to be about kingdom work. And it says that us, again, Terry and I and the board and leadership, the position of leadership is there to equip you to do that. And that word equip, again, back in the Greek, the original language, the word equip there is actually a medical term that they would use to talk about a broken bone, how you would set a broken bone. That it's kind of like casting or splinting. That's the word that they use there for equip. So the concept that's talking about there is it creates this picture of all the parts of the body. They're all broken and jacked up and messed up. Boy, once they're fixed, we get this body rolling and moving and doing its part. Then we all are part of this body. We all have a role to play. But if we're going to be real, a lot of us, we're kind of broken up, a little chipped off, a little flabby, a little, you know, we've been damaged by life. We've been damaged by our own sin. We've been damaged by the choices we've made, and we carry that with us. And the role of church is to equip you, to set that broken bone, to empower you, to restore you, to make you useful again for the kingdom of God. I firmly believe that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which were set in advance for you to do. That God made you perfectly you for a purpose and for a reason. That he has a role for you in his kingdom work. That he has a job for you and a task for you that you are perfectly created for. Sadly, we miss that purpose when we look at all the things that we have to offer and we just use them for our own kingdom and our own advancement. And the result is broken lives, fractured relationships, scars, and mess. But praise be to the Lord that he has brought us new life and has restored us again so we can be useful for his kingdom in that way. So that's my hope for you, is that we would all find that role, to find that position, to find that place where we're serving and useful and doing what God would have us to do. Because you know what? We are all in full-time ministry. I'm looking at a bunch of ministers right now. I'm looking at a room full of ministers. This might as well be a pastor's conference, and we're just coming together. Every Sunday is a pastor's conference here because you are all ministers of the gospel. It never ceases to amaze me. You guys do this, and you probably, well, maybe you know you do this, but it always makes me uncomfortable. Whenever you introduce me to your friends, you say, oh, this is my pastor. As in, that's supposed to be this position of honor, and it's this higher calling. Like, check it out. This guy actually has given his life to doing ministry. Like, isn't that something? But in all reality, that's all of us. My calling is no different than your calling. We are all called to ministry. We're all called to serving. We're all called to kingdom work. Now, it's going to look different for each one of our lives. It's going to be in a different context, in a different setting. For me, it's here to encourage you guys and to challenge you guys and to grow you guys and to equip you guys in this road of ministry. For you, though, that ministry, it doesn't mean quit your job and go start a church. It means be a minister at your job, to live your day for the kingdom, to be involved in ministry, to do kingdom work, that God has created you and gifted you for that reason. I know, without a shadow of a doubt, all those things you went through, all those hard seasons of life, the good seasons of life, all those people who've invested in you and have loved you, is for a reason. It's for a purpose. And it's bigger than you, and it's bigger than what you can gain for yourself. It's for the kingdom. God has a job for you and a task for you. And it's my hope that you will find that task, that you will find that role in ministry, that you will find, that you'll get a taste of that experience of being used for kingdom work. Because I can tell you by experience, there is nothing like it. My hope as your pastor is you get a taste of it, a little nibble on what it's like to be used by your Creator for eternal purposes. Because once you do, it's going to change your life. It did for me. I was living my own life, doing my own thing. I was a believer. I was a follower of Christ. But it was just a part of my life as I was trying to seek out, whatever I wanted for myself, that, you know, Christianity was part of that. And it wasn't until I gave some time to a mission trip, and I gave up a week and started working with these kids over in Compton, and it really changed my life to be used by God. I experienced the Holy Spirit in a way I never had, and it came by service, by stepping out of my comfort zone and doing kingdom work. And it was such a powerful experience. I ended up quitting my job and chasing after it. This probably isn't the right terminology, but it's like chasing after that high. It was a great experience. I wanted it so much, that the experience of being used by God for His kingdom. I've been chasing that ever since. Because getting a taste of that, of being used by God for eternal purposes, is so powerful, so mighty. Nothing can compare to that. It's how the gospel, Jesus describes the kingdom of God. It's like a pearl, a valuable pearl, that once the person saw the pearl, they gave up everything to go get that pearl. Or the farmer who found a treasure buried in a field, and when he saw the treasure, he went and sold everything he had to go pursue to buy that field so he could have that treasure. When you get used by God and you experience God in that way, it's going to change everything. And I'm confident in that as your pastor. That's my hope for you, that you'll experience that. You know why we do our monthly Bless the Block event? I mean, there's benefits. We help the neighborhood, and it gets us active in the community, and that's all good. My number one motivation, I probably shouldn't tell you this because it maybe undermines it, but my number one motivation for doing Bless the Block is to get you guys out there, active, and doing something, and that you will get a small taste of what it looks like to be used by God. And that's just one setting. Of course, it can be all different settings, but that's my hope for you, is that you get a taste for that. Because at least that's, I think, is the key to leave it to true life change. And we are used by God, and then we experience, and then the result is maturity in the body, and all these different things come from us all being taking part and being used by God. Well, there's an enemy to this, and that's a consumer mindset in church. A consumer mindset. You are a consumer. Church is a product, and offering you a product. And like everything else, you go to a restaurant, you think, well, how is this restaurant doing? I'm a consumer. How does this restaurant do at, you know, meeting my needs? If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, I'm going to the next restaurant. I think we take that same mentality to church. How does this church do at meeting my needs? Do I like the pastor? Do I like the music? Do I tap my toe to the music, or do I, you know, am I bored? Whatever things do they happen? Is the building nice enough? Where are the bathrooms? Parking, whatever. We start looking at all these different reasons of what makes a church good. It's a consumer mindset. And when we do that, I believe that is when we're robbed of the power of the gospel, the power of life change, the power of all these different, the results, all those things that talked about the maturity that comes through the body of Christ when we all take part in doing our role. When we're not taking part, we just sit back as consumers. We miss out on all that. We miss out on all those things. Here's news for you. The gospel was never meant to be used by you. You were meant to be used by the gospel. The gospel is never meant to be used by you. You were meant to be used by the gospel. This is an obstacle we face to this very thing of us taking part in kingdom work so we can experience all these things in our church and in our lives. The obstacle is this, that we're focusing on what the kingdom has to offer me instead of what I have to offer the kingdom. We focus on what the kingdom has to offer me instead of what I have to offer the kingdom. How will this make my life better? How will this make me, what's in it for me? Forgiveness, that's cool. Heaven, that's cool. I want that. And what's in it for me and all this? How can I help me fulfill all my dreams and what I want for my life? And the gospel becomes about a help for me rather than me helping the gospel or serving the gospel. That life is there, the gospel is there to improve my life rather than my life there to work for the gospel. And then we wonder why we lack conviction about what we believe. We don't really know what we know. We're like, gosh, I don't even know anymore. I'm just struggling with my faith and all that. We wonder why that is. And then we wonder why we're so reluctant to spread the truth in love. Why we're so reluctant to talk about our faith and why it's so hard. We don't feel like doing it. And then we wonder why we don't see a lot of life change. We're not growing into Christ, gaining the attributes of Christ in our life. We wonder why. Well, the reason is this, because we're just trying to put the gospel to work in our lives instead of putting our lives to work for the gospel. And when we get that right, when we put our lives to work for the gospel instead of the other way around, that's when this life change happens. That's when we mature and grow and develop. I heard it described this way, talking about the American church. We hear the phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." We love that phrase. And when we hear "the Lord is my shepherd," we focus on the word shepherd, that the Lord is there to help me. The Lord serves me. The Lord guides me. The Lord feeds me. The Lord protects me. The Lord provides for me. All these different things the Lord does for me. Well, instead, maybe when we hear "the Lord is my shepherd," we should be focusing on the word "Lord." The one that leads me and guides me and takes care of me, he is the Lord. He is the boss. He is in control, and I got to do what he says. He don't work for me. I work for him. So as we wrap up, I want to challenge you to consider, what is your part? You are a part of this body. You are a part of the kingdom. What is your part? What is your work of ministry? Again, all those things God has done in your life, I know it's for a reason. There's a purpose for those. Don't let those go to waste. All the things you've been through, all the lessons you've learned, so valuable. You have so much to offer. Don't let those go to waste. They're important for kingdom work. And this job could be anywhere. I'm not saying you have to necessarily start a ministry here at the church. It could be at your job. It could be at the person next to you on the bus. It could be every day I'm riding that bus for God. I'm a missionary on that bus today. It could be in your family. It could be anything. But it's a different mindset waking up today to be a missionary for God, to be about kingdom work. That's you doing your part. You know, one of my favorite things I could talk about is I love when people find ministry and find that God calls them to do something. And I just love that because I know it's the Spirit at work, and it leads to a lot of life change. I'm going to invite Pam to come forward. Pam's going to come up and talk about real quick about something that God put on her heart to do. And I want you guys to listen. And I'll tell you why after.
Hey. I just want to share with you guys that I'm starting up a discipleship group for women. And it's different than a Bible study this time. Terry and I have just really been feeling it's kind of like we're partnering in this, and of course with the church. Just like God's put it on our heart just to grow in the two commandments that God said, like that Jesus said. Everything was just to love him and to love one another. Love with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And so that's what we seek to do, what we're seeking to do in this new discipleship group is just to grow. Sorry, it feels weird talking to the whole church. just to grow in our love for God and in the unity for one another and loving one another and really encouraging each other to step into what God's calling each one of us to, like what this message is all about. What that's going to look like is it's going to meet every Tuesday, and I have a sign up today for anyone that's interested. And after we see who signs up, we're going to determine where it's going to meet at. But it's going to be every Tuesday, and we're just going to meet and worship and just we're going to have commitments that we make to loving God, to how can we grow in our love for God. So like spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, like every week, and then we meet and we talk about how we've been doing in those areas, encouraging each other, being accountable, and just growing in love for each other and love for the Lord. So if you're interested, it's going to be fun, but it's also going to be challenging. So it's going to be both. And if you're ready to really commit, really it's for anyone in any walk in your faith, as long as you really desire just to seek the Lord with all your heart. So so the sign up, I'm going to put it on the counter in the fellowship hall? Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Pam. The reason why that's so cool is I guarantee if you go to that group and commit to seeking after God and what he has for you, he's going to tell you what he has for you. I firmly believe that. So I want to challenge you, the ladies, to give time to that, to step out in faith on that and see what God might do in you and through you. So, yeah, so see Pam on that one and sign up for that. Men, we got to step up, clearly. So stepping up will be commencing shortly. So be ready, men, for the step up. All right. I'm excited for City Lights Church. I'm excited for what he's going to do. I look around this room, and there's so many experiences, so many wonderful people, so many perfectly created tools for Christ, and I'm excited to see how he's going to use them. So I want to close with this challenge that you would consider what it is that your ministry is, your works of service. Could be here, could be at your job, could be anywhere, but it involves, and you were sitting there thinking, Tom, that's not me. I mean, I barely get through the day. How am I supposed to serve? And I don't even have whatever. Remember last week we talked about relying on God's power, not our own. So this is where those two things merge. In light of our unity, we're all unified, but we have different giftings. And in light of how we all serve by God's power, not our own, let's all get to work together in doing our part in serving for the kingdom. So that's how those three things bring together. So this is all dependent on God's power, like we learned about last week. And then our spiritual growth will come as we actively do this together. That's when we will grow as a church and you will grow in your walk. So in that central truth, it says as we each do our part, you could even cross out each and R and put as I do my part. That as you do your part, you will grow, we will all grow together. It leads to maturity in the body, unity of spirit, growth into the fullness of Christ as we know what we know, truthing in love and growing under Christ. So our closing question, are you doing your part? Let's pray. God, I am so thankful for how you've been at work in us and through us these past 10 years, and I am thankful for what you have in store for us going forward. God, I pray that you would challenge us, grow us, help us to step out in faith for you and what you have for us. So, God, I pray that you'd be revealing to us as we call out to you what you would have us do, that you would be guiding us clearly and give us the courage to say yes and to follow you no matter what. Be with us as we go today, and I pray that we wouldn't leave you here, but would be aware of your presence with your praise ever on our lips as we walk throughout the rest of the day and the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.